We are in Romans 3, 28th verse, and been there for a long time. The reason being, I'm going to read it again. I erased off of the middle board when we turned to the Armenian, Luther's translation, where he adds the German word allein to this verse, which reads in the King James, "Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law." Luther added a line, "Only by faith." Only by faith. He wasn't the first one to do that. I pointed this out some many weeks ago, but it bears repeating. Got it. It bears repeating. Origen, that early church father whose hexapla we have on display. Hilary, the students of church history and theological history, these are familiar names. Basil, Ambrosiaster, John Chrysostom, or Chrysostom, Cyril of Alexandria, Bernard, Theophylact, Theodoret, here's one more familiar, Thomas Aquinas, Theodore of Mopsuestia, Nereus Victorinus, or Victorinus, and here's another familiar one, Augustine. The first one to use the word alone, and I've covered this ad nauseum, James, when he says bluntly in his second chapter, verse 24, you see that a human being is justified by deeds, and in the Greek, ouk, not, ek, by, pisteos, faith, monon, alone. Not by faith alone. That's why Luther had to make this issue. That's why I'm making this issue. The fight has gone on since James contested with Paul, and I feel sorry for those theologians who have some necessity to make peace with the entire camp of theology. I wonder if they ever read history and the battles of history where God preserved the stream of truth by repeatedly having someone resurrect Paul to bring the church back on track. Augustine did that. Luther did it. And Luther was right. Faith and faith alone get you in. This verse in the Greek, I've highlighted it because the board is so full. Logizo metha, gar. Putting the most important word first, which is the habit of the Greek, therefore, can be put in our English style ahead of it. Therefore, we conclude, but I've been over the ground, this word logos, logos, logis, from leg and log, is to choose out from among that which is not chosen by words. The words through these three chapters have convinced, and therefore we conclude, forced to the conclusion, now ourselves to be righteous, to be righteousified, dikai, I've highlighted, dikai usthai, to be righteousified, a man, by faith, pistai, choris, chasms apart from, ergon nomu, and I've peppered the board with the earliest translations, Hebrew, Arabic, who use words that mean only one thing, sharia, Torah, divine law, not some principle that we participate in deducing its meaning. The age of that covenant, where you make it in by works, conforming to deeds of the law, do this and don't do that, died on the cross. As the Colossian letter says, those writings of ordinances by which we are condemned became alive, incarnate, fulfilled, and nailed to the tree. That covenant is what Paul's talking about. He's been talking about it for three chapters. Those works that derive from a God-ordained covenant, the Torah, the Sharia, thus limiting the meaning of Nomu to that divine law, is gone. And only one thing takes us in. Why are you beating this so much? Well, you're an exceptional church. You've been taught by me for now going into the 30th year. But the war in the church at large, and you who watch religious television, continues. I want to read someone else. The phrase faith alone occurs in the writings of Pelagius. Now, what did Pelagius say? By this doctrine, he says, faith alone. By this doctrine is removed, or rather, by his pronouncement of a works-related doctrine, which is the error of Pelagius, by this doctrine is removed the error and presumption of some flesh-dominated and idle people who, thinking that they are saved by faith alone, claim for themselves what is said in Matthew 40 and Mark 16, the one who believes and is baptized will be saved. They do not note, and this is where this phrase comes from, they do not note that a human being is justified by deeds, and faith without deeds is dead. I pull from my shelf this morning the multi-volume History of the Christian Church by Philip Schaff, the standard textbook for those who want to get lost in the history of the church. Pelagius was a simple monk born in Britain in the middle of the 4th century. He is the typical enculturated second generation Christian. He is the typical product of those enculturated second generation carriers forward of the faith who've never known the depths of sin in their nature, have never encountered the reality of the prodigal son in the pig pen, who find it difficult to rejoice at being found because they never ever felt lost. They got converted at 3 years of age. They were baptized at 2. They've been in the church all their life. There's them and us. They're the modern equivalent of what Paul was condemning earlier in the second chapter of encampment gnomism, the deeds that keep you within the camp. And then, at least to the regret and sorrow of my dad, I departed from the faith and brought him much pain for a while. I'll say this off the record. Billy Graham's successor son, Franklin, will probably be a better successor to Billy than some of the sons who have followed their fathers, who, as far as sin goes, would remind me of my oft-told story to you of the 12-year-old that got up at every testimony meeting in my dad's church, 10 or 12. I want to thank the Lord for saving me from an awful life of sin. And I usually limit his sin to pushing a duck out of a mud puddle or whatever he did. Happened to glance one time when he saw cows doing it in a field. You know, I've been on this subject for so long, I have to wake you up periodically. He was a man of clear intellect, mild disposition, learned culture, spotless character. Even Augustine, with all his abhorrence of his doctrines, repeatedly speaks respectful of the man. He studied the Greek theology, especially that of the Antiochian school, showed great zeal for the improvement of himself and of the world. But his morality was not so much the rich, deep life of faith as it was the external legalism, the self-discipline and the self-righteousness of monkery, meaning monks, though I could do something with that. It was characteristic that even before the controversy, he took offense at Augustine's teaching because he couldn't conceive that the power to obey the commandment must come from the same source as the commandment itself. Faith with him was hardly more than a theoretical belief. The main thing in religion was moral action, the keeping of the commandments of God by one's own strength. Now, Augustine was 57 years old when he had to encounter Pelagianism, and it roared through the church in controversy and council after council until the mid-5th century, when Pelagius was condemned as a heretic along with Nestorius. Pelagianism is still around. They still try to say, as you hear me quote, "I know we're saved by faith, but you've got to walk worthy." The Pelagian controversy and heresy is nothing but a continuation of the Jamesian heresy. Show me your faith, I'll show you my works. Luther said, that's why I'm beating this to death, because I agree with him. Luther said concerning this faith alone, he says, "With it, Cheisto articulo stantes dat ecclesia ruinte ruit ecclesia." Because, translated, if that article stands, he was saying it in Latin, because if that article stands, the church stands. If it fails, the church fails. Nothing could be more blunt than that. He says in another place, the article by which the church stands or falls is this phrase, by faith alone. Now I have gone to translation after translation to show the faithfulness to Paul's original words. Last Sunday, the Latin. At the end, I noticed and had to correct the German influence that put an I in here, enum. And between the Spanish, the Latin, the Italian, all these different versions of justification. The Latin is justificare. I corrected it at the end of the message last Sunday. Here we have the Italian. Like the Spanish and the French, derived from the stream of the Latin and thus parroting that same thing that the English parrots, using a justification is the verb rather than righteousification, because we don't have that verb for righteousifying. The Italian, noi, we, dunque, therefore, or consecutively, or then, concludiamo, with ourselves conclude, okay, that l'uomo, man, a giustificato, in this case, a man is, and I'm going to write it as I did with the Latin, righteousified, not justified. Therefore, we conclude within ourselves that the man is giustificato per fide, senza, without, by faith, without Lopere, and that's something's wrong here. Yeah, this is the wrong. It's L-A, masculine. La opere de la legge. Correct, teacher. My wife's Italian. She's my professore in Italiano.
Solamente.
Solamente. Only.
You're the professor for everything else.
Oh, yeah. Only for the Latin. Okay. She's a professor. I mean, for only for the Italian. Well, she speaks 9, 8 other languages. Got it right? Noi adunque? We'll show off. Conchiudiamo che l'uomo è giustificato per fede senza l'opere delle leggi. Le leggi. È corretto? The point I make is there was no mistakes in all the translations. These came about through the wars and the divisions and the political fights and the bands that won as the church began to separate into its different sections. The Nestorians still exist. The Pelagian controversy still continues throughout the church, though it's dimmed a bit. Augustine and Jerome broke its back. Paul broke the back of James. And there's no bringing them together. There is only the way of faith. I want to hammer it home and clinch it a little further as I leave this verse today. I could go into half a dozen other languages. They all, true to the translation, say one thing. All that he has spent himself doing up to this point concludes and forces the conclusion, eliminating other conclusions. A man is made righteous by faith, light years removed, chasms apart from works of the law. Period. Now let's look at what I handed out to you. Same writer, a little more passion, because he founded the church at Galatia, and a bunch has showed up from Jerusalem, followers of James. He rips them. And if you read the whole book of Galatia, he reminds them he went down to Jerusalem after 15 years and receiving his apostleship direct from the Lord. He went down to check out. And he got nothing from those brethren except the denigrating experience of them not even having the courage to peep themselves, but hiring foreigners to come in and peep on them in the urinal to see if they were circumcised. Christian machinations. Come to the altar, lay it on the line, whack, whack, whack. And wacky Christianity with just different kinds of cuttings on you have continued to this day. And he, with passion, writes, received you the Spirit by the works of the law or the hearing of faith. And in the 16th verse of the second chapter, I want you to start writing in the margins of your Bible or on this note if you put it in your Bible. Knowing. Eidotes is the word. You got it in front of you. I'm sorry I can't email it to every listener on radio and television. Knowing, eidotes, you just have to listen closely. The day hoti, that, and see the numbers as the Greek form of a sentence is changed to make it flow in the reproduction in English. You got a 3 in front of the not and a 2 in front of is justified and a 1 in front of a man and a 4 with the word justified to it. So if you follow their translation, it would be knowing that a man is not 1, 2, 3, is not justified. But watch the word. You can read enough Greek for me writing it. Doesn't the paper show you dikai, utai?
Yes,
this is the highlighted root of the word here. It's to be righteous. I've been out in the history, I've been in the weeks earlier, the history of this word in the Greek language, back to the days of it being that bitchy daughter of Zeus. Give me another way to describe her. She was the enforcer of the great god Zeus's orders. It doesn't show in the King James, but when Paul escapes the shipwreck and gathers some sticks on the Isle of Miletus, and a poisonous snake seizes upon him, the onlookers say, Dike has struck him. He's out of favor with Dike. It was a goddess early on, then became a principle, and now brought into the Greek language, translating out of the Old Testament, the word tzedeka, which is keeping covenant. It is the righteousness that God is and God wants. Justify is out of the forensic world and allows you to separate this phase of being saved from that phase of being saved. It's all one happening. A man is righteousified, not justified. Write it in the margin. Righteousified. The word is righteous. A dikai word is always righteous and righteousness. Knowing that not is righteousified a man by works, ergon, of law. Now I want you to do something as you read that. I didn't come to church today to get a lesson in Greek. Well, if you've been watching, I don't know what you thought you'd get. We're always doing this. You notice the little numbers underneath the word, like works. You've got N-G, N-P. How many of you have that? I'm only interested in the G. The G is genitive. Now, genitive is origin, cause. You think of generator. You think of Genesis. You think of genitals. You think of that which causes, that which starts, that which possesses, that which is origin. The G here is works of law, nomu. You don't translate that works in law, do you? And I don't have any choice here for you. Isn't the word nomu got a G too? Look at it, folks. You have by, X, works, ergon, nomu, of law. The G underneath is breaking the grammar down for you, which means that ergon and nomu are in the genitive. And the genitive is works of law. By works of law. You see any parentheses that gives you a choice like works in law? Now, you remember back when I was arguing the theologians earlier that want to introduce into the genitive subjective genitive versus objective genitive, to where in the genitive the subject is the object, and they talk about love of God. Do you mean love that's from God or love to God? Now, I've drawn this square on the board many times. You can figure out the Greek grammar easily. The accusative, the word is moving. Here's the word. It's moving in. The word in the genitive is moving out, originating. The word in the dative or dative is in or on. It isn't moving at all. Genitive is going out. Accusative is coming in. So they didn't come up with this idea that there's a subjective genitive where the subject of the genitive, which is telling the relationship the subject is having to the word, can be subjective. It's really turning back on himself rather than objective. Or if he is the subject of it, he's doing it. If he's the object of it, it's being done to him. Now, you don't have any controversy here with ergo and works, do you? Look, come on, this is tough, and then it's going to get easy the rest of the time. You see the G under ergo and the G under nomu? Does the translator tell you you got a choice? It's either of or in? It's of. It works out of the law. Of the law. It's the law's works. Got it? All right. Then why don't they stick to their guns like I do? But through dia pisteos, see the G underneath it? In front of the F. Pisteos, Jesu, you see the G under it? But these translators are going to bow to theological controversy and say it's of or in Jesus. You see that? Take great satisfaction and say whatever you want to say, whisper it, and scratch the N out. Scratch it out. We spent weeks teaching that our justification is brought about first, foremostly, primarily, through or by the faith of Jesus. He sets the pattern. He made a deal, covenant. All righteousness in the Bible is covenant keeping. He made a covenant with his Father. His Father made a covenant with him. He's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world to save mankind and open up the door for God to be able to return to man through his Spirit. There had to be the keeping of the covenant part. For sin comes death. He came. And his covenant keeping, the faith of Christ, gets tougher as he goes along to the cry in the garden, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But in trust in his Father's word of promise, he kept his side of the covenant to death, saying, "It is finished." Then the Father's faith moves in. And the reward or the actuality and vindication of the amenness of Jesus' faith, God said he'd raise him the third day, set him in heaven, give him a name above every name. God kept his word. Jesus' faith was well placed. Jesus kept his covenant. God's faith was well placed. Our faith moves in. When we then join the Father and the Son in faithing in the efficacy of what he did. But it begins with the faith of Jesus. Through a man is not justified by works of the law. You're undercutting all this hard work for Jesus I've done my whole life. You just wiped out the basis for all my feel-goodness about my Christianity. You've just suggested I'm not better than everybody else. I come here to be told how good I am. Hell, I'm getting out of here and going down to one of those warm-you-up-and-feel-good churches. People who appreciate how hard I've served God my whole life. By the way, I've been telling God he's not very appreciative of me either. And God says to whoever the angel is in charge of me, "I still think he's a retard. I'm convinced I got a retard angel." He says he'll give his angels charge over you. I got a retard angel. He reminds me of one of the guys that works for me. He can sleep standing up. God wakes him up and says, squeeze him again. He still thinks too highly of himself. Knowing that man is not justified by works of the law, but through the faith of Jesus Christ. And we, here's where our part comes in, we in. If Paul wanted to say in, he knew what the word E-I-S meant. Ice. In. You notice Christ here, and Jesus has an A instead of a G. You notice that? A. In. The precision of the Greek language. You don't have to memorize all this, but you can see it on this verse as I show you. I've already drawn the picture. Accusative, the direction is in. Genitive, the direction is from and out. And of. When you see genitive, it's of, from, out. When you see accusative, it's to, by. You notice how consistent the Greek is here? That's why you read up above, you read the faith of Jesus Christ, you read Isu Christu. Down here, where we in Christ Jesus is Christon Isun. The ending of the word tells you the case. It is genitive, and that's translated faith of Jesus. Scratch out that in. And we in ice. Got a word for that. In Christ Jesus believe. But again, scratch out believed. What's the word? E in front of it is the past tense. It's something that's already happened. Epistusamen. Epistusamen. Or epistusamen. You see peace to? In the middle of it? It's faith. It's a verb. We don't have a word to faith, so we substitute believe. And then it becomes just a mental exercise. No. Faith is action based upon belief, sustained by confidence, and that's what the Bible's talking about when we ruin it in English and translate believe. Believe is a part of it. It's not faith. Now let's translate this. Knowing that not is justified, is righteousified, a man, got it clear? Or have I bored you to death? A man is righteousified by, not righteousified by works of law, but through, dia, pisteos, of Jesus Christ, not in, of, and we, in, ice, Christ Jesus, have faith, that we might be righteousified. Again, it's dikaio, isn't it? The last line on the first page. That we might be righteousified, same word, by faith, pisteos. And again, they give you a choice of and in. You see it? Scratch out the end. Feel powerful. Because you see the G on faith and the G on Christu? It's genitive. Get rid of that end. Now read it again. Knowing that man is not justified or righteousified by works of the law, but through the faith of Jesus. You put the "the" in because it's in the genitive. The faith of Jesus Christ. And we in Christ Jesus have faith in Him that we might be righteousified because we accept the worth, the covenant made and kept by Him. We, that we might be righteousified by faith, the faith of Jesus Christ or of Christ, and not by works of law. That by works of law, not will be righteousified. Isn't that dikai again? Let me hear you.
Yes.
That by works of law not will be righteousified any, kasa, all or any flesh, sark. Nobody. You surely beat that to death. Well, hallelujah. It needed to be beat to death. And if I beat it to death, it would be the first time in the history of the church if I beat it to death. It rears its ugly head every new generation. It's very normal for parents to want their kids to be raised in the faith. But they endlessly substitute raising them in works instead of faith. That's why I say in this church, I want the kids, through you, to learn to respect God's house, God's word, God's man. That when they're ready, they will understand their need of redemption, their need of salvation. They will be able to joyously respond when found, because they know that in themselves there dwells no good thing in God's eyes called righteousness. Ethics, absolutely. I've said it 100 times. An ethical system based on the Ten Commandments is sure better than one based on the Quran. We're not talking ethics. We're not talking approximation of God's righteousness. We're talking the righteousness that God accepts. And that righteousness only He can do. As Paul goes on to say, if it's only legalism, answer this question, is He the God, 29th verse, of the Jews only? Is He not also of the Gentiles? The Jews preempted God. They were to be His oracle. They were to protect the revelation of truth and disclose to the whole world God's manner of salvation. They got their eyes on their performance and forgot that faith was there from the day they came out of Egypt. It wasn't how well they showed off their goodness to the Egyptians. It was the death of the lamb and the blood on the door that caused the death angel to pass over. And the faith or the act on the belief and the confidence that put that blood on the door. In all of the worship activities, when God said to Moses, you prepare that tabernacle exactly according to the specifications that I have given you. Every year, the great day of atonement redeemed them for a year and only a year. As the sacrifice was offered and the priest would go into the Holy of Holies, typical of heaven, and they would be joyous when He came out because the sacrifice was accepted and their sins were forgiven. Not their perfection for the year previous, a forgiveness for a year. The heifer was slain and the blood and ashes of the heifer were there for the priest to daub on them through the coming year until the next day of atonement. That their faith and that action based on belief and confidence, that the blood of the heifer cleansed them. They offered their sacrifices and laid hands on the animal and stepped back, believing that God. All of that should have been communicated. As the wonderful preachers of the gospel, instead they preempted it, swallowed it, and made it some special potion for them alone. Paul's going to herald in the 3rd chapter of Ephesians that he, how unworthy, that which was missed by all the Old Testament saints and prophets, that angels bent down low to explore the mystery, God revealed to him. that God had made a way to redeem and save all flesh who would faith in that which the faith of Jesus accomplished. He's now mocking them. What kind of God do you serve? Is he only a God of the Jews? What have we got? A localized tribal God? He's the God of the whole world. Jew and Gentile. It's axiomatic. Seeing it is one God which shall righteousify, you already know that word's going to be based on Dikai, righteousify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. He then asks the $64 question, do we then make void the law through faith? We have butchered the concept that you, underline the you, you know, I get amused at some people that say, well, Paul tried to philosophize on Mars Hill with the Athenians. And look, where's that Athenian church? But by the time he crossed over to the Isthmus to Corinth, he said, I've determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I've heard preachers use that to put down education. They underline the wrong word. Paul said to the Corinthians, I determined to know nothing among you. This bunch of self-centered idiots. One says, I'm of Paul. Another says, I'm of Apollos. Another one had his own Jesus at a corner of, and I'm of this and I'm of that. Warring and fighting and committing sin, not even known to the Gentiles in the city. I determined to know nothing among you. You need to understand, you self-righteous, prideful Corinthians, that you need to understand that Jesus was crucified for you because of your miserable sins. Underline the right words. History shows no great Christian ever coming out of Corinth. Athens produced some great leaders of the church. So don't let mental midgets misinterpret Scripture to you. What you need to understand, do we then make void the law through faith? Just because we say, your keeping of works of the law gets you no righteousness, are we nullifying the law itself? No! God stated on Mount Sinai what he dwelling in human flesh would look like. And it encompasses, as Jesus teaches, the thought as well as the deed. You've heard it said unto you, thou shalt not kill. You hate a brother in your heart, you're guilty already. Thou shalt not commit adultery. You lust after another, you're already guilty. An impossible standard designed to make the Pharisees see they couldn't keep it. But it's still good. I mean, are we suggesting that murdering is good? I despise anybody that can say a good word about a Muslim who cuts a head off of someone in the name of God. Innocent people. Murder is bad. Are we saying thou shalt not commit adultery is a bad thing? I got a Bible. It's called the Wicked Bible. Not very many of them exist because the church got rid of them real quick. It was either deliberate or a misprint. I think it's down in the ladies' lounge. It reads, in the Ten Commandments, it reads, thou shalt commit adultery. Man, I could fill churches with that Bible. Do we make void the law? Again and again, Paul's going to say the law is good. We just can't get there. We, underline, can't keep it. Not possible. Wait till we get to the seventh chapter. I know in my mind the law, and it's good, and I agree with it. But there's another law in my members that takes me into captivity until what I should do, I don't do, and what I want to do, I find myself not doing. Oh, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I'll tell you who. Eighth chapter opens. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And that eighth chapter is the culmination of all of his arguments up to that point, where the Holy Spirit moves in, which he could not do until the barrier of our sins was removed by the death of Christ. Faith is all we can do. His Spirit does the righteousing. And that's why Paul says, do we nullify the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. Literally in the Greek, we make it stand upright. The fruit of the Spirit, according to Galatians, is not something you can manufacture with effort. Contrasted in Galatians with the fruit of the Spirit, the lusts or desires of the flesh. You have no trouble manufacturing those. You don't even have to manufacture them. They well up and you give way to them. The fruit of the Spirit is the result of new life indwelling that gradually displaces the old life and comes out as fruit of the Spirit. And the law is fulfilled, Jesus says, when you love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your being, and your neighbor as yourself. The only person who's done that in history is Jesus. The New Testament gives me hope. The God of peace shall separate us wholly over there. The sanctifying process, to use the theological term, the separation to God and from the old man that goes on inside of us when the Holy Spirit comes to dwell, is a process that will never be completed until the God of peace separates us wholly over there. Paul anticipated it when he talks about this old house breaking down and dissolving under the pressure of the faith life, but a new house being built up within, which will shine for eternity, made like unto him in his glorious nature. The righteousness that faith brings is God doing and not mine. The trick has always been to not mix together the recognition of the rightness of what the law represents, God's goodness expressed in flesh. But the devil moves in and makes it will worship, Stoicism, Pelagianism, Jamesism, work-based sanctification churches that are going to raise you according to the rules and regulations of holiness. No. The Hebrews letter says, you remain the house of God, but doing what caused you to be the house of God. Faith. Only faith causes the connection, like plugging a cord in the wall socket. And then the current from heaven, his Spirit can flow. More faith, more Spirit. More faith, more Spirit, more life. More faith, more Spirit, more life change. More faith, more Spirit, more life change. We then have this hope that we shall be as he is. Now, I don't know what God's got in mind or this retard angel he's signed to me. But I know this. In Nihon, between 40 and 50 years of ministry, coming close to my 50th, I have never I had a challenge of faith like I now face. And it's never been as difficult to say, what's the matter with you, Gene? Isn't this what you preach your whole life? Ever-increasing faith? The stronger and more mature the saint, the greater the test. Oh, but God, I've got some rather firm covenant promises. Right. How's your amen level? Well, not where it ought to be. Then keep pressing on. And I've tacked on to these messages as I bring the third chapter to a close, that faith will make you, because it brings God in you and you become His house. You won't notice it. I've said this to you since you came here. You don't have change to be to come to this church. But if faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, faith connects you with God and His life moves in. It can move in because you're covered with God's grace and paid for by the blood of Christ. And like invisible in the negative, radioactive material can change your very being. God's Spirit moving in can change your nature. It's like radiation. When radiation usually just kills, well, I want the old nature to die, as painful as it may be. You will be changed if you're living by faith. Not camped out on your last faith accomplishment, living by faith. So I close this message with what's been my faith promise to grab this week. I have to have one every week. Joshua, third chapter. You haven't come this way here at four. You haven't faced this ever before. Joshua 3. You haven't come this way heretofore. Turn to it. There may be others that will need this message with me. Maybe you are facing a new one you never dreamed. Fourth verse, third chapter. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. I've said it to you. I thought I had exhausted, at least in type, all the things God could do to me. He could maybe intensify one I had, like Paul had more than one shipwreck, and he had more than one beating. But it's a new test. You've not passed this way heretofore. Well, what do I do? Well, He already gave me my orders. Now, Joshua in the Old Testament is the equivalent of Ephesians in the New Testament. It is the church moving into its promised land. Ephesians is moving into the life of faith that Paul prays they might understand, the height and depth of God's grace and blessings. I already got my orders. Four times, when God repeats, pay attention. Four times in the first chapter, He gives me the orders. I underlined them. Sixth verse, be strong and of a good courage. Seventh verse, be thou strong and of a good courage. The word is hazak. For strong, it's stout and firm. The ninth verse, be strong and of a good courage. The 18th verse, only be strong and of a good courage. You know what that word courage is? Let me find a hole here on this board. Now, the word for faith is amen, or in the noun, emet. This is a derivative related, emets. Emets, that's the form of the letter TZ at the ending of a word. Emets. With this congregation, you know where I am, don't you? Only be strong and amening. The highest form of faith, the kind that I know I had at various times in my life with various tests, can't stay there all the time. That which Isaiah 53 says, Mi hei amin, hu hei amins, lishmu atenu. You have not passed this way heretofore. Only be firm and amen. I don't know how to do that. Because faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. I got to keep doing it. Well, my amen is not as strong as it's been. Well, fingernail grip. Haven't I taught you that? Don't quit. Don't stop believing. No, that ain't good enough. Don't stop faithing. Don't stop amets. Learn to cuss the devil. It's great catharsis for faith. Empty the pot to make room for faith. Get alone so the neighbors don't hear you and call the police. Tell the devil when you go home in the car today. Don't curse the drivers, just curse him. I hope that everybody that leaves here, the people that are driving, think there's smoke coming out of your car. Get the devil cursed. Be strong and keep amening. What else? And I'll end this message here. Moses gave them orders too. Moses, as he was ending his ministry, and I'm not, but Moses, as he was ending his ministry, gave them orders for this time when they would not have passed this way heretofore. Moses says, Thou shalt remember all the way the Lord thy God has led thee. From Egypt's bondage, delivered by his power when they were hopeless. They even resented the thought. The Red Sea parted. As Moses said, stand still and see the power of God with Pharaoh wiped out. Remember all the way the Lord led you. The bitter waters at Marah. Hope gone, God sweetened them. The emptiness of Rephidim. And water out of a flinty rock. Thou shalt remember. I'm going to do a lot of remembering this week. When you're 75, and have followed God pretty much alone most of your life, countless times. To me then, they were the biggest things I could face. I remember sick in a hotel in Taiwan, alone. Standing in a rice field in southern Mindanao Island, looking out toward the China Sea with a bunch of Moros with their swords on their side. Standing alone as that DC-3 took off. Facing the witch doctor in northern Luzon. Up in the heart of India. Sick and alone in a motel in northern Montana. thinking it was ended at a motel in Fresno when the call came and Claire Grace surprised me as I preached that Sunday. The lifetime of facing battles that made me make Psalm 84 my textbook, guidebook, lest men go through. The nitro pills that have carried me more than they probably carried you. Learning not to doubt in the dark what the Lord showed me in the light. Refusing to give way to the impossible, including this church that everyone said was impossible to resurrect from the dead in 1975. Threatened by government forces, battle after battle, seemingly too many times, like Paul and the ship that was breaking apart off the Isle of Miletus, then, when all hope was gone, the Lord. Then, when all hope was gone, I don't know why he waits. I've complained about that for years. But then, when all hope was gone, he came. Thou shalt remember all the way the Lord thy God has led thee. Never fail me yet. That's why I wept when the song my wife sang, "What a friend we have in Jesus." Never fail me yet. He's not going to fail you now. He's not going to fail me now. Only be strong and have a met. And remember all the way the Lord has led thee. And set your face and keep going by faith. And that's my message.